the sports dudes here at Heritage Radio Network. I think we're going to start off today with another quote. We're going to go with live audio bite. How do you feel about that?
Quote of the day.
Real
quick, is ours? I think our theme song is better than us.
It is better than us.
It's definitely the highlight of the show.
I think so.
We should just play that for 30 minutes.
Maybe we could.
All right, quote of the week.
I mean, the guy is—he is who he is, and he does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page, and everybody's putting their best foot forward. You can't just stick your toe in the water, especially, you know, you got your foot up in the air. When to go out there and just put your best foot forward. He's got great feet, you know, he has good feet.
Who's putting their foot in their mouth now?
You want to make sure that you know, you're putting your best foot forward.
What
does go out there and being good little foot soldiers?
Bart Scott have to say about this?
I don't know. Maybe we should go to Bart Scott. Can we go to Bart Scott? See what he has to say about this.
The non-believers.
How did that?
All the non-believers, especially you, Tom Jackson.
Yeah, Tom Jackson.
Way to have our back, Keyshawn. Anybody can be beat.
So how did that just feel?
Felt great. Poetic justice. We know we were a much better team than we came up and represented ourselves, and we're pissed off. We was ready to come back and show what kind of defense, what type of team this was, what kind of character we had. We take a lot of slack. People gave us no chance, like we barely made it in playoffs. We're a good football team.
All right, wow. I mean, J-E-T-S, Jets all the way, huh?
For all you non-believers.
Non-believers.
Disrespect us. Talk crap about the defense.
First of all,
the third best defense in the league.
Who's disrespecting
Bart Scott?
That's what I want to know.
Can't stop a nosebleed.
Can't stop a nosebleed.
25th in the league, and we the one to get disrespected.
With dual quotes of the week. I like
it. Dual quotes of the week.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. I gotta say, he sounds a lot like Randy the Macho Man Savage there. It's pretty amazing. He's like the ultimate warrior of defensive backs.
Yeah.
Are there any non-believers of the Sports Dude shows that you guys would like to address?
I mean, we were non-believers. I think both of us chose the Pats in this one.
Yeah, definitely. I'm an idiot.
I mean, they're on paper, they're a better team.
Yeah. Well, now they're the Patsies, not the Pats.
The Patsies. It's true.
They look quite soft.
The Jets came out with a lot of heart, and they played better on both sides of the football, and they managed to confuse Tom Brady just like they confused Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and that's not easy.
I mean, they played amazing defensive football game.
It was a hell of a game. They're right in it with 3 minutes, 11 minutes left, 3rd and 4, to give up that touchdown to Holmes. That was it. That was an amazing, amazing catch.
Did the talking from Rex Ryan and the rest of the Jets team get under the skin of the Patriots? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, is this the new formula to getting at the Pats?
I don't know if it got under their skin, but it made them look soft. They looked soft out there. And their defense is just a soft defense in general, but their offense looks soft.
They didn't look great.
No, it's like a pillow. It's like a nice.
Couldn't get the ball down the field. Even working underneath the defense, they had a hard time.
Yeah.
Running game was soft.
I mean, let's talk about the Wes Welker benching.
That was amazing.
I mean, whole series, can't you just find the guy? So we heard the quote earlier. Belichick bench Welker for the entire first series for the innuendos.
For the foot jokes, which I thought was hilarious. Go Wes Welker.
They were good.
I mean, come on, man.
Hey, you can't bench a guy for being witty.
I mean, is he smarter than Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my big problem with the Pats is that, you know, there's seemingly undisturbed by anything, and every time you hear them talk in the media, it's always this well-scripted, you know, we respect the team, blah blah blah, but when you see them on the field, they're talking trash. They're a trash talking team. They have an air of themselves. They're arrogant.
They're professional football players. That's what they do.
They know they're good.
Yeah, well, they look pretty shitty.
They did not look like the team that they were for the whole
14
beginning of that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Unreal.
Unreal. Unreal. All right. So there was some other divisional playoff games. None quite as interesting, I would say.
The Ravens-Steelers game was a great game.
Ravens-Steelers game was the next best game.
I mean, there was 2 minutes left. That game was tied. Throws the ball down to the field to Brown, like a 50-yard pass, and he catches it on his head. a la the Super Bowl.
Can we just go back to something that we said last week?
Sure.
Joe Flacco sucks.
He's overrated. That's for sure.
All week I watched.
He went, what was it? 125 yards, 16 for 30. 53% completion percentage. One pick, one touchdown. 61 rating.
That's not a Super Bowl
quarterback. The media loves him, though.
Everyone loves him.
I don't get it.
He stands tall in the pocket, and, you know, he's got his eyes downfield. He's got a lot of targets. Hey, also, let's talk about, I mean, his wide receivers were horrible.
No. Yeah, definitely. You gotta drop that in there, too.
I mean, it wasn't just Flacco.
Bolden did.
But not a...
Zada did. They had two huge drops for him. They didn't help him exactly, but he didn't look good.
But we can go back to this.
Every time he had the ball and they scored, he was in their territory when he got it. The fumble was pretty bad. Speaking of fumbles, do you remember when they muffed the snap, Flacco and Matt Burke?
Yeah.
They showed that replay like 7 times, and all it was Joe Flacco's hand and Matt Burke's ass slowly moving.
I wish we could do
like
visual
a Beyonce
clips.
Video.
Yeah, it was great.
And they showed it like 7 times. It's like, where are we looking? We're not looking at anything.
Dancing.
You couldn't even see the ball.
It was disgusting.
Nobody's attracted to that. No one. Maybe Joe Flacco.
Whose fault was that there? I say Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco sucks.
Definitely a team effort of sucking, for sure.
Defense is a huge part once we get into the playoffs. And we knew this was going to be a defensive game.
Look at the 4 teams that are left. Those defenses are great.
I mean, the Steelers played great football on both sides of the ball. Not only did they hold the run game, stop the pass, stop Joe Flacco. They got to Joe Flacco how many times? I mean, we weren't seeing, you know, safety blitzes from Polamalu. We were seeing a different defensive package than we saw in the previous games.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, give him some credit. He wins.
He wins.
He knows how to
games.
Win in the playoffs. He might be if he beats the Jets this weekend and they get to the Super Bowl, he might be the most clutch quarterback of our lifetime.
That I don't know if I agree with that.
Clutch. I'm not saying the best, but clutch. He wins games.
He wins games. There's no doubt about that.
He puts passes on women who aren't interested, but he wins football games.
Yeah. Well, he just maybe he should take some advice from Charles Barkley and Brett Favre. I think there's a better way to go about it.
He is amazing to watch. I mean, he doesn't really. I mean, he breaks tackles. He extends the play, but he can
put the ball down the field
in the pocket, and he just throws over his offensive line, which is like 6'3". He just gets right up to them and just throws right over them.
And he's got a much better offensive line this year now with the addition. Well, he's got Flozell out there.
They have a solid line for sure. I mean, and their defense is
and their running game is great.
Yeah,
they're a very balanced team.
Yeah, they're going to be really hard to beat. The Jets have to go there twice now and beat them on the road, in the cold. We'll see.
I can't say that I'm jumping on this Jets bandwagon, but
no.
If the Jets keep playing football with the amount of heart that they did against the Pats,
mm-hmm.
and they can play defensive football the way they did, and I think the play calling was superb. I think they're going to be a hard team to beat.
I have to jump in here because last week, if I remember correctly, it was if the Jets beat the Pats, they are legit.
We did say that. We think they're legit. I think they're legit.
But you won't jump on the bandwagon.
I can't jump on the bandwagon.
Hater.
I think that they probably will beat the Steelers. I'm going to pick them to beat the Steelers.
We'll get to that.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Let's get to the NFC. Let's
start with the Packers Falcons.
I picked the Falcons.
Aaron Rodgers threw a perfect game, pretty much.
He did.
He was 31 for 36, 366 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then 1 rushing. You can't play better than that.
He's an excellent quarterback, and now we're talking about clutch quarterbacks. Now's the time of the year where you need to be, you need to come in, you need to put your best foot forward, as Wes Welker says.
He was playing indoors, so he thrives in that situation. The Falcons defense, even though their pass defense is rated pretty high, but they have some holes. He played unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
We got a caller on the line. You want to?
Yeah, so Matt Siegel from the Matt Siegel Show is going to join us from ESPN Radio Mississippi 1490. What's up, Matt? You on?
Nothing much, guys. Yeah, I'm right here with you. I appreciate it. So, Greg had told me so I can actually curse on this. Is that real?
You can curse. You can let out all those curse words.
They try to censor us.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're hard to censor.
Well, you just can't say butt fuck. Because I can't do that on my show, so I have a little bit more free range. I appreciate the ability to curse.
Yeah.
This will be your outlet, Matt.
We're going to allow you to be as foul as you want to, especially talking about this Packers game, Packers-Falcons.
Well, yeah, what was some major thoughts on that? I mean, are the Packers the real deal, or are the Falcons the opposite of that?
Well, I think you saw a little bit of both from both teams. I think Aaron Rodgers had a big chip on his shoulder, and everybody's saying, can't win a playoff game. And then he goes and he carves his defense. Well, what, 31 of 36?
I mean, he tore them apart.
366 yards. Yeah, it was remarkable. His numbers were just phenomenal. But then you got to believe, too, the Packers, in all reality, played pretty much two playoff games before the playoffs started. You know, they had to beat the Giants. They had to beat the Bears in order to just get in the playoffs. So they pretty much felt that they had the confidence level. And then, of course, going into Philly and taking care of the Eagles, you know, they felt like they were the better team. I think this team's the real deal. I would not be surprised.
And sometimes it's all about momentum. Sometimes it's all about momentum getting into January and getting into the playoffs. So like how you come out of the regular season and. Definitely the Packers were on a roll by the time they got here.
So, Matt, do you think it was more of do you think it's more of the Packers being a legit football team ready to take this all the way, or do you think it's a matter of the Falcons kind of being exposed a little bit?
I think it's a little bit of both. And, you know, in talking about the Falcons, you know, again, Matt Ryan, another quarterback that, you know, again, his second loss in the playoffs, another quarterback that they're going to start saying he can't win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. But you saw this Falcons team going up against their bitter rivals in the Saints mm-hmm. on a Monday night football stage where the division's on the line, everything's on the line. And they shrunk. They shrunk in those lights. You know, sure, listen, they beat Carolina up, but, I mean, I think we could put a football team together, and take care of Carolina. I mean, they're pretty horrendous the entire season. So you saw them kind of shrivel, and when you could take out Michael Turner, I think he only rushed for 39 yards, it puts a lot more pressure. Their defense doesn't have those really big, flashy names, short John Abraham, but, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, John Abraham's been in the league, I feel like, since fucking forever, so... It's not like they promote this incredibly flashy, you know, the sexy type defense, and sure. I think you saw them exposed. I really do.
I like how you just casually dropped that fuck in there.
It was nice.
You're right at home now.
I know, I can't, because I have to, you know, I'll go on air in about 2 or 3 hours, and I got to mind my P's and Q's. I'm hearing the Bible Belt, you know, there's certain things I can't say. It's fucking fantastic, guys. I really appreciate it.
So, any major thoughts on the Bears-Seahawks game? I mean, is it the same situation? Are the Bears legit, or is the Seahawks showing their 7-9 colors there?
I mean, listen, the Seahawks had to win the Super Bowl in order just to get above 500. You know, the way the playoff system has worked out, they were the division winners. They beat a team that, you know, really showed its deficiencies in the Saints and their defensive side of the ball. And, mm-hmm. you know, I like what they were doing. I like how Pete Carroll was running that team. I think he had a successful first season. But it's taken me a really long time to hop, I guess you could say, on the Bears bandwagon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you saw this team just sack after sack and Cutler, and you're just waiting for Cutler to make
that. I mean, they cannot protect Jay Cutler. And is he going to hold on to the ball even?
Yeah.
You know, once they're getting to him, they're knocking him around. He's dropping the ball. He's not really the quarterback that everyone thought he was going to be.
And Matt.
No, but.
Sorry, go ahead.
But he's been impressive, though, guys. I mean, you got to give him that. I mean, you see him even when that first touchdown to Greg Olsen, and to open up that game. I mean, the confidence level that he has right now in his arm.
Right.
I mean, he's just lofting it up, and he's got okay skill position players. Johnny Knox is playing really well. He's a really speedy receiver. Hester, of course. But the beauty of the Bears and what they boast is the two major keys going into any playoffs: a solid running game and Matt Forte, and then you add in Chester Taylor, and their defense is just playing outstanding.
Which Matt Forte really came alive. I mean,
story.
He was not looking great in the beginning of the regular season. And I was really having my doubts about Matt Forte, but definitely in the postseason.
I think a lot of that, Brendan, has to do with the scheme. I think you had, you know, Lovie Smith after the bye, after they, you know, got pretty much, you know, beat themselves by the Seahawks. You saw them go into the bye. They rearranged their offensive line. Mm-hmm. And Lovie went to Mike and said, listen, we, much like he did when, you know, like much like Vermeil did, you know, listen, we got this guy named Marshall Faulk. Listen, we got this guy named Matt Forte.
Yeah.
You know, you got to key him in a little bit more. And as after that bye, I think it was in week 8, if I'm not mistaken, you saw this team pretty much turn around big time. And I think that's really what you're seeing now. I mean, they're a solid team. They can definitely, you know, they can definitely compete in the Super Bowl. Will they, though? I don't think so. I think the Packers right now are just playing way too solid of football.
No, definitely. And all these teams have good run games right now, pretty much, except the Packers, unless they're playing the Eagles.
right.
And
but it's a whole other story.
Yeah, I mean, they all have good run games, good defenses, and I the thing about the Bears that kind of scares me away from them. Is, you know, they had that game locked up against the Seahawks at home. Mike, what are they doing? They're throwing the ball. They're running option. Forte's throwing the ball in the fourth quarter. They had the game locked up with no timeouts from the Seahawks, and they're throwing the ball and stopping the clock. And just they kind of let the Seahawks back in. I mean, if Seahawks have one more stop, they're right back in that game somehow. So I just don't trust that coaching staff at all.
No, and that's, and you're right, and that's, you know, you just said it right there, trusting the coaching staff. I mean, that's Mike Martz, I guess I could say it because, you know, where we're at, but that's Mike Martz, you know, having a big set of balls, having a big dick, wanting to do something, you know, keep the foot on the pedal, and if he continues to do that in the NFC Championship game, it's going to bite him, and we're all waiting. You know, I think we're all, I mean, I know you guys are, you know, hard-nosed football lovers, you follow it, and like myself, and I'm sure like your listeners, we're all waiting. We all know what color is capable of doing, and that's throwing the big pick, you know, coming up with a big fumble. We're all waiting for it to happen, and you know, I think you might end up seeing that this Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do we feel like this is the end of Matt Hasselbeck? I mean, this was his big opportunity to be somebody again. I mean, it was, what, how many years ago since we saw him in the Super Bowl?
I mean, quarterbacks just don't die. Quarterbacks will be around for a long time. But.
Yeah, no, Matt, well, I mean, you already have Pete Carroll on record saying that he wants Hasselbeck back. Mm-hmm. Matt Hasselbeck's already said he's coming back. I mean, the problem is, though, guys, I mean, we could talk about next year, and we could talk about who's going to be around. The fact of the matter is we may not have even have football next year.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get you back on. We can talk about that, the labor issues and things like that.
That's a mess right now. That's a big mess.
We're
going
to go to a break right now. We're going to have you back on in the next segment. So we're going to give a big shout-out to our sponsor, Strawberries Bar and Grill. If you guys don't know, it's Daryl Strawberry's restaurant somewhere in Harlem. All right, we'll see you guys in a little bit. Sweet love. Yeah. I didn't mean it when I said I didn't love you so. I should have held on tight, I never should have let you go. I didn't know nothing, I was stupid, I was foolish, I was lying to myself. Could not fathom that would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything. I never felt the feeling that I'm feeling now. Mariah Carey, was that your pick?
I love her.
Sexy.
This is our theme song, Brandon. Me and you, we belong together.
So if you guys don't know, if you can't see us in the restaurant, we are slow dancing.
Yeah. I'm a really good slow dancer. Does that even make sense?
Let's talk about football.
Matt, you still with us?
Yeah, yeah, no, and I can also vouch for Greg's dominance in slow dancing, too. It's quite a scene. It's definitely something to watch.
He moves well.
He looks like a quarterback, actually. It's all in the ass.
He's very agile. He's, you know, former basketball player. You know, he's still very agile. You know, you should see him, you know, dips and do's. I mean, he's just phenomenal. I'm, you know, a couple years, we're going to see him on Dancing with the Stars. I guarantee it.
Right. I think he needs to become a star first. but we're here. Point. This is his platform.
Good point.
All the way from Bushwick to Dancing with the Stars. All right, Matt. So we're gonna preview these championship games. Thanks for sticking around with us.
Absolutely, guys. My pleasure.
We were on the Packers, Bears. Let's stick with them. So you're going Packers here? Is that the unanimous choice for you, or what's the deal?
Yeah, I'm going Packers here. I mean, just because of the fact that, again, what we were talking about before the break, and waiting for Cutler to make that big mistake. I think you're going to see it happen. I think the secondary for the Packers is far more superior than what he was seeing with Seattle.
Sure.
And I think this is a team that feels confident in the Packers that they can go in and they can beat the Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they did it, you know, week 17. So they know that they can go in, and it's a division rival. So you throw all that out the window because both teams know each other so well. But again, great stat, too. The second time these two teams have played together in the playoffs, given the rivalry that these two teams have, and it's one of the better rivalries, I think, in football.
It really is.
It's pretty outstanding that this will only be the second time they've ever played together in postseason play. But you got to like the Packers. I think they bring more to the table right now than the Bears.
The Packers have a lot of weapons, and there's no doubt about that. Who do you see being the key component in the Packers' win?
To be honest, I think the defense, I'll single out Clay Matthews and you'll throw Tremont Williams out there and then the secondary and Woodson, of course. But you know, in order for the Packers to succeed, they need to throw Cutler off of his game, and that lies with the long-haired one in Clay Matthews. He really needs to find his way off the edge.
And
absolutely,
knock him around a little bit.
He's like a Viking.
He's amazing.
He looks like a Viking.
I mean, he comes from a football family. What is it? Seven Matthews or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, did you see his brother Casey play in the national championship with Oregon? It's like the exact same player.
They're amazing.
Could you imagine if the Packers actually were able to draft Casey Matthews and they
born
had
and bred
awesome.
To rip and shred these guys? They would be like a Viking pirate ship coming at you.
they might have to switch uniforms then.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about the Packers is that even if the Bears do get a pass rush, Aaron Rodgers is so good about extending the play and just breaking that first tackle, rolling out of the pocket, and just making that throw and the guy just looks wide open every time.
Absolutely.
Who do you see being the key component for the Bears if they're gonna take this one?
Well, then we go back to the old cliche and the quarterback. I mean, in order for the Bears to succeed, Cutler needs to keep doing what he's been doing and not get rattled and not get flustered and not make that big interception or that big turnover. And then to couple that, I mean, the defense of the Packers, or excuse me, of the Bears, I mean, they need to be on top of their game, too. We talk about, you know, running game, and I'm, you know, guilty of it as well, you know, just a little bit ago, how a running game is so important in the playoffs. But the beauty of Aaron Rodgers is that his release off the ball so quick that even if you don't have a running game, if he can read his hot routes, I mean, he can just flip that in. Mm-hmm. You know, the mid, the
so,
short.
So
to
you're saying
passes,
that this
like
bone. You're saying that the bone is not a running game.
No, I'm not. The wishbone. I mean, it is, clearly, you know, if they have to continuously go to a power formation just to gain 4 yards, I wouldn't necessarily say that's a very sound running game.
Sure.
do you see the Bears getting to Aaron Rodgers in this game?
The defensive line is pretty sick. You know, again, you know, with both Julius Peppers, you got Tommy Harris around there as well, and then you add in Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. Their secondary is no slouch either. I mean, defensively, I mean, I think they're right up there, and it's, you know, whether or not the line for Aaron Rodgers can hold them. But, you know, as Greg just pointed out, as you guys just pointed out, the athleticism that Rodgers brings. I mean, even the Falcons were able to get to him, but he just dips to the side real quick and is able to find his man open. I think you're going to see that again on Sunday.
So the Packers are a 3-point favorite going on the road.
Which is astonishing to me.
It really is. I mean, do you think this is going to be a high-scoring game or a low-scoring game?
Well, I mean, what? The last game was, I think, under 25 points, I think. So I anticipate it being a low-scoring game again.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that. It's just that you see the Packers offense and then you see the Bears succeeding recently and them scoring some points. These offenses, they manage to score, and it's just gonna be an interesting game. I just don't want to see a Bears Steelers Super Bowl. That would probably be the worst Super Bowl ever.
Me too. And you know, any notion from what the Packers did against the Eagles is that they grind you. I mean, they're a team that'll lull you to sleep. They'll have those 8, 9, 10 minute drives that result in a touchdown or a go ahead field goal, and you know, before you know it, your offense hasn't been on the field for an entire quarter. And if they can continue to do that against the Bears, which I think is going to be the case, I think you're going to see both defenses really, you know, stepping up here. I mean, I that's why I still have to pick the Packers in this game.
I think the consensus with all of us is the Packers. So that means the Bears are going to win by 14.
Absolutely, and we're going to get a Bears.
For sure.
We're going to get a Bears Steelers Super Bowl if that's the case. Then,
Yeah, whatever I don't want to happen will most likely.
So speaking of the Steelers, let's talk about this AFC game. The Jets definitely come in with the most amount of momentum. The Steelers have been playing good football.
Great, I would say great football.
Great football. The Jets are coming in with a mojo, swagger. That's undeniable. And a lot of times we see this carry teams all the way through into the Super Bowl.
I mean, think about their last two wins. I mean, they just went on the road and beat Peyton Manning. They just went on the road and beat Tom Brady.
I mean, that's an extreme confidence booster.
Sure.
They've managed to confuse two of the best quarterbacks in football.
So, early predictions on this game, Matt?
Well, I think a lot of people can look at the Jets, Patriots game and say, well, the Jets just won their Super Bowl. They rode that emotional high, and there's no way they can recreate that going into Pittsburgh.
Right.
But when you think about what they were able to do last year, they're in this exact same situation. You know, granted, the teams they played were a little bit tougher, but you know, they wound up in the AFC Championship game last year. So I think they're kind of running under the pretense that we have unfinished business to accomplish. And though the Steelers always find a way to win, which is just, it really pisses me off because I'm really, I can't deal with another Steelers Super Bowl. I can't do it. But
and that's not a great way to, because we might not have football next year. And that might be the end. We might have to end on a really, really low note.
It would be terrible. Absolutely terrible. I'm sure Steelers fans disagree, and there's a shit ton of them. But I think for the most part, seeing another Steelers Super Bowl, or even them in the Super Bowl, it's bad enough seeing them in an AFC Championship again, yet alone another Super Bowl. But I if the Jets can recreate what they've done, and that's Rex Ryan mostly. I mean, the two games that he's coached, he completely outcoached Bill Belichick last week. He completely outcoached and outsmarted Peyton Manning the week before.
Yeah,
the defense.
Assume Peyton Manning's their coach.
He's calling the plays. He's running that ship. But to beat Peyton Manning, to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and then to go on the road and beat Tomlin and Roethlisberger, I mean, I think that'd be the greatest three games and the greatest road to the Super Bowl you've ever seen out of a team. And I think we're in store to see the first two six-seeded teams in the history of the NFL playing each other in the Super Bowl.
I think so too. I mean, how do you feel about the Jets and their chances? Like, are they're not going to be able to run the ball that well? I mean, that's just a guess. The Steelers do not give up a lot of running yards. Yeah. But
they're the number one run stopping defense in the league.
Year after year. And so what did the Jets have to do then? To beat this team, because Ben Roethlisberger is probably not going to make mistakes. They're not going to give a lot of running room. You got Polamalu coming off blitzes. The Jets are really going to have to play an amazing game to win this. So what are some things that you think they need to do to get to Dallas?
Well, they're going to have to stretch the field, and that involves Antonio Holmes, and that, of course, involves Braylon Edwards, and then Jericho Kotcher, who finally came to life last game as well. Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to actually have to, you see him play one, two good quarters, he's going to have to put it together and play a complete game. But if they can stretch the field and they can work both inside and outside, that could open up some running lanes to get Green and to get Tomlinson involved. And, they're going to have to try to do some trickery plays, utilize the aggressiveness of the Steelers and run screens and make sure the blocking's out there because their linebackers are fast. They know what's going on. That's a smart and probably the most skilled linebacking core in all of the NFL. So they're going to have to try to stretch the field in order to run the ball, and I could see that happening. I mean, sure, Ryan Clark's great, and they got some okay secondary. I mean, really, it's their linebacking core and their defensive line that makes the Pittsburgh Steelers so great defensively. But they can get it done. I mean, the Jets just proved a couple weeks ago, I think it was December 19th, that they could beat this team. They went into Pittsburgh. They needed a big win. They just, they're coming off a couple tough losses and a couple close games, and they went into Pittsburgh and they beat this team. I think 22-17, if I'm not mistaken, or around that score. So they know that they can do it. They have that confidence level, and then you add in all the emotional hype that they have going on. Yeah, I think there's no question that the Jets can win. What scares me, though, is the fact that, again, the Steelers always just somehow find a way to win. And it's proven in last week's game. I mean, that was a tale of two different halves. The Ravens really should have won that game had they, limited their mistakes in the second half. That wasn't the case, though.
The Jets are kind of going to have to flip their script here. They've been facing, dominating offenses, and now really what they're going after is a dominating defense. So they're really going to have to go into this week you know, with a little bit of an offensive state of mind, which I don't think they've had throughout the playoffs. What do you think their scheming is going to be leading up to the week, trying to get prepared for the Steelers' defense?
I mean, they do have some really good offensive weapons, but they're not, again, that big, explosive, flashy offense. Though they do have, they do lead the league in plays, I think, over 20 plus yards. You got a guy like Mike Wallace. I mean, he's top three fastest guys in all of the NFL. So you're going to have to use him and send him on go routes and allow, you know, we're talking about the jet stretch in the field. That's what Mike Wallace does and so well. But it's really about pounding them with Rashard Mendenhall and getting Heath Miller involved as well, especially in the red zone. But, you know, I anticipate the Steelers to do what they do every single year, and that's, you know, try to grind you out with their running game, but most importantly, you know, utilize the weapons they have, a Hines Ward, and sure, the secondary of the Jets is just, they're mm-hmm. remarkable. The defensive schemes that Rex Ryan has been running, I mean, let's, you know, be honest, they've been fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Especially against those Patriots. So, you know, it's going to be a tough test for Roethlisberger, but if there's a quarterback that can hang in the pocket, take a hit, stand up still, and be able to throw squarely, it's Roethlisberger, and you could have the greatest cornerback in the world. Eventually, the coverage is going to break down because a guy like Mike Wallace is just too fast.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you'll see the Steelers have success against this Jets defense and against this blitz. But, again, the Jets have been doing a really good job of masking the blitz and going into a lot of zone coverage. So, you know, I don't really see that changing here, given that it's worked the last 2 weeks.
Matt, thanks so much for coming on, man. We're running short on time here, but
Super Bowl prediction.
I'm sticking with the six seeds. You know, I like Jets and Packers. That's awesome. Where I'm at.
That's Matt Siegel from the ESPN Radio, the Matt Siegel Show in Biloxi, Mississippi. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon,
guys. Been a pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.
All right, we're the sports dudes.
Sports dudes,
dude.
Round number two.
Sports.